Welcome to another edition of Eagles Unscripted, kind of a field trip for you today to Upper Marlboro, Maryland. And we are here at the horse farm that is owned by former Eagle Brian Westbrook. He, of course, was known during his playing days for being a guy who would do just about anything on the field to win a football game. Well, nowadays, he's doing just about anything that's necessary to run his own business.
No, I didn't grow up on the farm. What happened was maybe 2005, 2006, I came down to visit one of my buddies, and one of his neighbors owned horses. He said, hey, let's go for a horse ride. And I was like, well, I've ridden horses before, but not really just kind of freely. And so the first thing the horse does is take off 300 yards, running full speed, sprinting. Luckily, because I had no knowledge of how to do it, I was able to stay on. That's why I say luckily. I was able to stay on. And then after they calmed me down and the horse down a little bit, we were able to go on like a 2-hour trail ride, and it was just fantastic. It was relaxing. And that was the real reason I bought the farm, because of how relaxing it was to go on a trail ride and be able to be out in nature and enjoy horses. It was just absolutely great. Ponds like this, they get these little plants called duckweed, which is all over the pond. So now we're starting the process of getting rid of the duckweed. And what we've introduced into the pond is a fish called koi that will eat the duckweed. And so instead of spraying products and chemicals to kind of kill it, we're trying to do it the natural way, and we'll see how it goes. This is stuff like when you have a farm, you know, it's all about money. And so you have to research stuff, you have to Google stuff, you have to look things up. It's all about trying to educate yourself. You talk to people that have done it before, trying to educate yourself so that you're not spending more money to try to find out these answers. And in life, a lot of times mistakes cost money. And so you try to educate yourself beforehand so you won't be spending as much money trying to fix the problems that you've created. So I had the horse farm maybe 4 or 5 months before I even owned a horse. So I was here every day working, trying to understand exactly everything that goes into the business before I even had a horse. And it just kind of worked out that I now have 6 horses, and we enjoy and we ride them all the time. And so it's more of a labor of love type of thing now for us, but we enjoy it as well. So it's cool. When I bought it, I was in the prime of my career. And so I depended upon my dad and my managers and my mom as well to do almost all of the work. And so when you're not here a lot, things go a little bit different, as many business owners are able to kind of attest to, that you don't really have your input, your vision upon the place. And I didn't at the time. And so I just relied on a lot of other people to kind of do the work and things like that. And so now that I'm retired, I can be here a lot more often. But also, I understand the business much more. And when you're here all the time and you understand the business much more, it runs a lot smoother, it runs a lot better. For me, it's been a great process of learning, also just kind of developing the business. And it's a great brand in this area. A lot of people love the things that we're able to do. We service the horses very well. We service the boarders very well. And so everyone's pleased, and that makes us really, really happy as a facility.
A typical day for you when you're working here is what?
Well, just depending on things. Sometime when my manager's not available, we'll get up around, we'll get here around 7:30. We'll feed the horses. And so that includes bringing all the horses in from the field. And then you go back and you're putting water in the water troughs in the field, making sure that they have water. You have to drag the arenas, make sure that they're nice and smooth for the people that want to ride. You muck the stalls. Occasionally you cut the grass in the fields. But the most important thing here is a service business. And so you have to make sure that the boarders are happy. You have to obviously make sure that the horses are happy as well. But the boarders are people, and if they don't like what we're bringing as a business, then they'll go somewhere else.
These horses, are they all horses that people just ride for pleasure? Are there any show horses that end up boarding here? Or certainly not race horses, right?
Yeah, no race horses are here. A lot of our horses, 95% of our horses, are just pleasure horses, where people will work 9 to 5 and come out at 6:30 and ride around the arena, go out on the trails and enjoy it that way. The other 5%, we have some people that do show. at more of the amateur lower levels, but they're continuing to get better every single day. And as they get better, they'll continue to go up higher and higher in the levels of competition.
Did you have that idea in your mind while you were playing that when you got out at some point or other, you were going to do something that was entirely about you?
Well, one of the most valuable things that I learned my rookie year was from Troy Vincent. He said to me, now that you're a rookie, begin to process and begin to think about what you want to do when you retire. And you never know, your career could be 2 years, it could be 1 year, it could be 9 years like mine was. And so for me, I went to business school at Villanova, so I had a great opportunity to have a business mind and things like that. And so I always wanted to have my own business so that I can go to work when I want to go to work. I can manage people and make sure that people are doing the things the way that I want them to do them instead of working for someone else. And so the farm kind of fell into my hands, and it's definitely a business. It's one of the businesses that I have, and it's a great opportunity for us to just imprint our vision on a business and then see it grow.
Is any football player really ready for it to come to an end when it comes to an end?
Well, I think there are definitely guys that are ready. For the most part for us, and for me, more importantly, is that I knew that it was coming to an end. You start to see multiple injuries taking longer and longer to come back from, and you start to say, okay, is this really worth it? And luckily, I had set myself up financially well enough to be able to step away and be kind of carefree.
Now, the underside of this is people found out just this past spring, something they may not have known, is that you, even though you were not somebody who had, you know, concussion after concussion after just the 1.5 kind of concussions or 2 in your career, that you at this point in your life are already experiencing some after effects of that, some memory loss, some things that you're having trouble with. I think people might be shocked about that, considering the fact that you weren't one of the guys who was continually hurt that way.
Well, you know, concussions can affect you in a lot of different ways. And unfortunately for me, I had 2 right at the end of my career. But compared to some of the guys that have it really, really bad, I'm very, very mild. I think for me, I do forget some things. But for the most part, I've been very, very blessed that I don't have some of the symptoms that I've heard a lot of other people have.
How old are you now?
33.
48. Just so you know, it's going to get an awful lot worse, and I never played football.
Right, exactly. I'm with you.
Eagles Unscripted is brought to you by Sports Authority, official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles, NovaCare Rehabilitation, and by Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals.
Back to the eye, McNabb fakes. Look, he sprints into Westbrook. He's at the 30. Cuts to the outside, 35-40. 45 midfield. 45-40. 35-30. Westbrook at the 25-20, 15-10-5, Westbrook, touchdown, Brian Westbrook broke it.
He's got the touchdown as he runs at the Brian Westbrook. Westbrook dashing over the middle.
You cannot hold Westbrook down for a game.
Brian Westbrook throws a touchdown pass before he runs for one.
You talk about hops. He has got some hops.
Our work is not done now.
No, sir.
Our work is not done. No, come to work this week and get your job done, man. Yes, let's finish this thing. Let's finish on 3. 1, 2, 3.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about.
I'm a young TV broadcaster, and I'm getting ready to do my first go-round doing television play-by-play. Done a lot of radio, but I'm doing television. And I'm doing games that are Villanova football games. And I'm getting ready, watching some tape, and you're the best football player on the field. I mean, and I'm not trying to disrespect anybody else by saying that, but I'm watching these Villanova games, and you're the best football player on the field. Did you know at that time that you were the best football player on the field?
You know, I think my goal and my thought process when I was at Villanova is just to be the best football player that I can possibly be. Work harder than anyone else. Same thing I try to do with the Eagles.
At what point during your career there, while you were putting up just ridiculous monster numbers, did you have a feel that, you know what I'm doing here can get me to the next level?
You know, I didn't. Because back then, really the only player in the NFL that was doing the things that I was doing in college was Marshall Faulk. He was the only player that was catching the ball out of the backfield, lining up in a slot, you know, being able to run the football, lining up out wide, running those types of pass patterns. He was the only guy doing that in the NFL. And nowadays, you see it a lot more than way back then. But I just wanted to go out there and be good. And that was my main focus, be out there, be productive, be good, try to help these guys out, lead this team, and try to win as many games as I could.
If you do a Google search right now, you don't pop up immediately as the NCAA all-purpose yardage leader because they're focusing on what was called Division I back right. then. But your numbers just blow those numbers away.
Yeah.
Does that bother you at all?
No, it doesn't bother me. I think if people, and this is the same way I felt when I was playing for the Eagles, if people understand the game and they understand what players are capable of doing and then they watch the things that I'm able to do on the field, then they'll appreciate everything that I bring to a football team. And if you watch the film, you talk to some defensive players and defensive coordinators, you'll understand the importance and the value that I have on the football field.
When did you realize where you might end up going? Was it until you got the phone call that you had no idea what was going on? Or did you have a feel that you were going to get drafted?
Well, I had really no idea. My junior year in college, they do an advisory board. And so they said I would get drafted. This is my junior year between the third and the fifth round. And so I had a better year, one of my best years, my senior year. So I was hoping we would push that to the second and third round. And you never really get a feel. You could talk to all the personnel guys that you want, but you never really get a great feel of where you get drafted. And so I watched the draft like a lot of the people that are going to get drafted. And you're hoping for the best. You're hoping the second round. You're hoping the first. Didn't think the first was really a possibility. But you're hoping the second, maybe the third. And luckily, I was able to get drafted by the Eagles in the third round and go into a situation where a great coach, a great group of guys, guys that were able to go out there and win football games, great leadership, a lot of older guys that can take the younger guys underneath their wing and teach them the right way, how to be a professional, how to do things the right way. And it was a great experience and great opportunity for me.
I'm sure that there are a lot of Eagles fans that have a lot of different feelings about some of the things that you accomplished. I'm going to bet that one of the first word associations when people say your name, though, or at least mind associations, is they're going to go to that punt return at Giant Stadium.
Right.
I mean, because it's one of the most legendary plays in that era and maybe in Eagles history.
He gets it away. It's a wobbler. Bounces across the 20. Westbrook takes it. Looks for running room. Up to the 25. The 30. To the 35. 40. 45. Midfield. 45. 40.
He's gone.
35. 40.
He's gone.
Brian Westbrook.
He's gone.
He's going. He's gone. Touchdown. Brian Westbrook. 84 yards. No penalty flags. I don't believe it. This place is in a state of shock.
One play propelled us. And it kind of set the tempo and said, listen, we can win. We can do the right thing. We can do it in the Eagles form. For me, it was a coming out party. People say, oh, that's Brian Westbrook. They didn't realize who I was. And even though I was starting running back.
They missed when you threw the touchdown pass.
Yeah, they missed that. And so, you know, it was just an opportunity for me to jump out there and to jump into people's mind. And a lot of Eagles fans, just like you mentioned, they remember that play as the kind of the start of my career.
And also the start of something that you did you were a New York Giants killer.
Yeah.
Does that happen for a reason? Is it just one of those things? Do you get more amped for a specific team?
Well, I love playing, you know, against the Giants. I love playing really against anybody, quite honestly. But it was a great matchup for us. They had some players that they put in positions where they had to play one-on-one. And my confidence level was very, very high against anybody in the NFL in a one-on-one situation. And so anytime we have that situation where we can get the matchup that we were looking for, Andy, Marty Mornowig, even back to Brad Childress would always take advantage of that. And they just put those guys, they kept putting them in those situations, and we had to take advantage of it. And a lot of times we did.
This portion of Eagles Unscripted was brought to you by Sports Authority, official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles.
He just got a mouthful of Brian Westbrook.
He is something. He is having a day to remember, folks.
They keep giving it to him, and as you said, Maurice, eventually he's going to pop the big one.
He's at the five. He's in for the touchdown. Brian Westbrook, his third touchdown of the game.
The run we're talking about that you guys went on, like people say, it may be the best stretch in franchise history.
Yeah.
Do you get that feel from Philadelphia now, that appreciation for what it is that you guys accomplished?
Well, I think over the last couple of years, just because the team has kind of struggled to duplicate some of the things that we did in the early 2000s, I think people are starting to see how special that really was. And I think the same way with Donovan. They start to see as time goes that he was a special talent. And the things that he was able to do, five NFC championship games, all-time passer in the Eagles' history, that's special, and it's hard to duplicate, and not a lot of guys can do that. And so I think people, as time goes on, they'll appreciate our team and our group of guys more and more.
This is a couple of most questions. What was the most frustrating moment in that run? Which one was the loss that was just the most? Was it the Super Bowl?
Well, of course, anytime you get to the Super Bowl, your goal, obviously, is to win. If you're able to get there, it's special just to be able to get there. But losing it is definitely frustrating. And then having a similar team, come back the next year and fall so short is very frustrating.
So the other most question is, what was the most fulfilling? What was the mountaintop? Was it the same game? Was it getting to the Super Bowl? Is there something else I'm missing?
Well, I think getting to the Super Bowl is a great thing. And when you look back at your career, 8 years in Philadelphia, you just understand all the great times that you had there, all the great memories that you had with the guys, all the wins, and so many wins. It's hard to really point out just one. But we had a lot of great times. But that year we went to the Super Bowl, it was so special. We were winning every game. I mean, we're talking about the starters being out of the game by the end of the third quarter. We understood that work was work. And when we got to work, we would enjoy the meeting times and the breaks and things like that. But when we were on the football field, it was strictly business. And we didn't mess around. We didn't play any games. We just went there and we worked hard every single day. And the important part about the NFL is getting better every single day. And because of that process, we were able to reach the Super Bowl.
When you look back, I know you said that you were trying to be the best football player you could be when you were at Villanova. Same thing when you got to the NFL and you were playing for the Eagles. Are you satisfied with what you accomplished?
I'm more than satisfied. When you look at the average lifespan of an NFL running back, it's 3 years. And I was able to play 9 at a very high level. Could have played a couple more if I really wanted to push it. But I'm very satisfied. I was able to accomplish a lot of different things that some people doubted me from a long time ago. Even with all the accomplishments that I had in college, there were still some people that said, Brian's never going to be more than a special teams guy. He's not fast enough. He's not big enough. He's not strong enough. And I was able to prove a lot of those doubters wrong. But most importantly, my family had a great time. I was able to make enough money that I can support all of my family. And they were able to enjoy things like this, this horse farm, and we're comfortable. And that's the most important thing.
I happen by here 5-10 years from now. Am I still going to see you out there repairing a fence and walking a horse in?
Well, you probably will see me out there repairing a fence and walking a horse in about 5-10 years from now. Maybe I'll hopefully get my dad to do it in a couple of years, and so we'll let him continue to work a little bit. So it's a great experience for us here. We enjoy it. We do it because we love it, and not because we have to, but we can always hire people to do it, but we love to do it. We don't mind doing it, and that's the reason why we do it.
Thanks for having us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
This portion of Eagles Unscripted was brought to you by Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals, the official hospital of the Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles Unscripted is brought to you by Sports Authority, official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles, NovaCare Rehabilitation, and by Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals.
All right, so who do we have here?
Well, this is the first horse that I purchased. His name is JoJo, and he's actually the first horse that I kind of learned how to ride. And so when I first learned, I learned from a lot of cowboy guys, not really lessons. And so they just said, just go out there in the field and just ride them, and you figure it out by yourself. And they said, this is left, this is right, and this is stop, and good luck. And so I have a great appreciation and love for JoJo. I'll never get rid of him because he took care of me when I had no clue what I was doing. Never fell off, never hurt me. Anytime that I would get a little bit uncomfortable and not really balanced in the saddle, he would just stop.
He had your back.
He had my back, and so this is my guy, JoJo.
Now, one of the cardinal rules in broadcasting, since you've become a broadcaster now, and you probably may not know this, is you don't want to get an animal into a camera shot with you because you have no idea what they're going to do.
That's right.
Just so far we did okay here.